The first week that the group of young people who were preparing for baptism this spring met, I asked them to fill out a sheet about themselves. At the top, there was a place for their name and then several lines that simply said, "I am," with a blank space behind these two words. We use this as a way to talk about who we are and to get to know each other more deeply. At the end of that exercise, I asked each person to write one more thing on their paper. I asked them to write these simple words, "I am a child of God." And what important words they are. In a world where loneliness runs high, where people feel less and less connected, where people find themselves physically and sometimes emotionally distanced from those they know best, where concerns about mental health and suicide, especially among children and teens, are rising, it is so important to hear that affirmation of belonging again and again. And who better to belong to than God? Who better to be claimed by than God? Robert Frost, in the poem The Death of the Hired Man, wrote about old Silas, an unreliable farmhand who, though no longer welcome, returned to a certain farm to die. The farmer's wife said he had come home. But the farmer said that because Silas had left when he was most needed, he was certainly not returning to a place he could call home. His wife countered, "Home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in." When we read the passage from Romans today, we are reminded again that in God we have a place to call home, a place to which we can always return, a place where we will always be taken in. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost, the Jewish festival that took on new meaning for the early followers of Jesus as the promised Spirit arrived on the scene and moved in such ways that the community grew, not just numerically, but grew in diversity as the Spirit connected people from different lands and languages. And as the Spirit broke down structures of hierarchy between men and women, slave and free. That same Spirit appears again in our text today. The Spirit shows up as the one who directs us toward God, who connects us to God, and who with us claims our identity as children of God. And just imagine if we really embraced this identity. What would it mean for us to live as children of God? See, so often we in the Christian faith have kept this language for Jesus. We have spoken of Jesus as the Son of God. The church has spent years developing an understanding of who Jesus is in relationship to God. But all too often, we leave ourselves out of the picture. All too often, we think of the rest of us as lowly people who live lives much more distant from God. All too often, we think only of ourselves as those caught up in the struggles and strains of this world, rather than recognizing the gifts we are given in our identity as children of God. But in these verses, Paul reminds us that God has chosen us. See, that's what adoption is. It is chosenness. It means that even though God didn't have to, God opted in. God decided not to exist outside of relationship with us. God made us a priority. And in this chosenness, we are invited into the intimacy of relationship that we see in the stories of Jesus. You might remember earlier in the year when we talked about the Lord's Prayer. The very first week that we looked at it, we talked about the significance and meaning of how Jesus addressed God. Unfortunately, because time and language often change meaning, when we read it in the English, we miss the intimacy of that prayer. When we pray our Father, in our life and times, we might hear that as an address to a distant parent, to an unchallenged authority sitting on a throne somewhere. We might hear it as a hesitant address offered up with hope that the holy parent is in the mood to talk or ready to receive our requests. And yet, if we look at the original language, the word Jesus used, do you remember what that word was? Abba. That's right. And Abba is not a distant title, but an intimate, familiar word. It carries the meaning and emotion that we might more quickly hear saying mommy or daddy. When Jesus prayed to Abba, he prayed to the one with whom he shared intimate relationship, the parent in whose lap he could climb for comfort or reassurance, the one who loved him unconditionally. And not only did Jesus teach his followers, and that includes us, to pray that way, but here in Romans, we are again reminded that we have the right to address God with that same title. We are claimed by God in such a way that God not only embraces our desire for intimacy, but that God wants it as well. God wants to be the one to whom we go, the one who is our first instinct, the one with whom we share our lives, and the one in whose ways we walk and live. One other Sunday recently, I showed a picture you might remember if you were here that Sunday of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You might remember that at the bottom of that triangle, the most basic thing, the first thing that must be taken care of in order for us to engage anything else in life is our physiological needs, things like food and water and shelter. The second thing is our need for safety and security, and the very next thing on Maslow's hierarchy is love and belonging. Maslow's theory is that only when we feel that we belong can we then go on to have confidence, to achieve, and to make a positive difference in the world. While Paul wasn't privy to Maslow's work, it seems he knew the difference belonging makes. Even he knew that when people feel deeply connected, in this case, to the very God who created them, then they are more likely to live a fuller life and to live more fully out of God's heart. So what would happen? What would happen if we all started living as God's children? What would happen if we lived in the confidence of God's love and with the knowledge that God desires to be close to us? Now, some of us get caught up in texts such as the one we heard today that talk about this tension between the flesh and the spirit. We get caught up in what that means and in trying to make a list of how much time we spend giving in to the flesh. We get caught up acting as if this text is against the body, talking about the sins of the flesh as we hear that language elsewhere. And yet when we do that, we miss the most important part of this message, because that really doesn't seem to be the focal point if we're paying attention. it's not telling us that the body is bad, but rather talking about the distinction between the ways of the world and the ways of the Spirit. And even then, rather than asking us to make a list of the ways of the flesh versus the ways of the Spirit, this text most centrally is a reminder that we are claimed, that we are loved, that we are given permission to live fully into our identity as children of God. As Everhard Busch writes, we are children of God, not because of decisions we make about the flesh or the spirit, but because God has adopted us. That we are beloved children of God invites gratitude. So again, I ask, what would our world look like if we lived in this way? Who would we become if we really believed in our own value and our own chosenness? How would we communicate? How would we love? How would we create community if we looked at each and every other person and saw them as children of God as well? How would we learn to appreciate our differences if we understood that we all belong to God just as we are? What would happen if we chose to live each day as who we are, as children of God, reflecting the light and love of God more clearly, sharing the compassion and justice of God with the world, believing in the power of God's love and our love to change the world? What if we lived so fully as children of God that we began to look like Christ? What if we lived with the same values and priorities that we see in the stories of Jesus? What if we lived not as those caught up in the ways of this world, but as brothers and sisters with each other and of the one who showed us God most clearly? And so today I remind you, you are a child of God. You are invited to live fully into this identity. You are invited to live in gratitude, knowing that you are never, never outside of God's reach. And you are invited to live in community, knowing that just as God loves and chooses you, so God loves and chooses all people. Amen.